You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters. Welcome to Table Talk, a guide to the future of food and nutrition, brought to you by Food Matters. In these podcasts, we chat with visionaries from across the food industry to discover the ideas that will transform our food landscape. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a food science writer, I'm a TV presenter, and I'm a gastronaut. One of the great things about this podcast is that we get to meet so many people working on ideas to help create a greener food system. Now, the year 2050 is a huge target date for global carbon emission targets, and also for one food tech company with a huge ambition. They're aiming to replace all animal meats by that date, plant-based alternatives for everything. Now, they started out in Japan, a country which has actually arrived pretty late to the plant-based party. So will they succeed? And might food, and especially Japanese food, look very different by 2050? To talk about the plant-based revolution in Japan, I'm joined by Saya Matsukubo, who is US Area Manager at Next Meats. Welcome, Saya.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a great pleasure. Now, just before we get into sort of the plans of your company, I was mentioning that the plant-based boom has been a bit slower in Japan than in some other countries. Why do you think that is?
So Japanese have actually traditionally eaten a lot of plant-based food like tofu and natto, as many regions have their own special food and vegetable varieties. But the recent plant-based boom has been slower to take off here, I would say. And we think it's been growing for several years now, perhaps partly from our traditional foods and partly from the rise in alternative proteins from overseas. And nowadays, you can actually see more and more Japanese companies developing alternative products. And last year, pandemic that countries today has also made a lot of more people become more conscious about eating healthy food. So I would say boom is coming, but it's still very slow.
Because I've visited Japan several times. It's one of my favorite places on the planet, especially to eat. And my concept of it was that it's both modern and high tech, but intensely traditional, mm-hmm. and especially in the food industry, you know, you get some sort of fun, crazy, whizzy ideas, but there is a huge value placed on tradition and slow, thoughtful processes and learning.
Right.
And as you say, tofu and things like that, it's almost that you've already had a lot of these things. So do you think it's a food culture that's slow to change?
Well, I think so, yeah, as you said. So we very much like had already a culture of eating very healthy food, almost like plant-based food. So we have like the meal called shoji nyori, which is very traditional, all plant-based, 100% plant-based meal with a long history. And so we actually have culture with plant-based background, but we didn't have any new idea of plant-based food like sausages or ham or patties or even yakiniku barbecue style, Japanese barbecue style food. So it's that concept is quite new, but I would say we still had the culture.
Yeah. And so I wonder, if is it the same in Japan as it has been certainly in UK and Europe, where the lockdown period of the last 18 months has really focused people on looking at plant-based and thinking about health and thinking a little bit more about climate change and things like that? Have you had the same experiences in Japan?
Yes, so definitely during the pandemic period, Japanese people tend to be more aware about health. And that's the time we think many consumers in Japan started thinking about to shift their diets into more like plant-based healthy food.
So what does Next Meat have on the shelves right now?
So we have many products available in the market now. We have our Next Karubi, Next Halami, which is our Next Yakiniku Japanese barbecue style products. And we also have Next Gyudon beef bowl style alternative meat. We have Next Chicken and so on. So we are actually very much specialized in traditional Japanese food alternative meats.
And your current bestseller?
I would say there's Next Yakiniku Japanese barbecue style alternative meat series. So both Next Short Lives and Scott Steak.
Now, next is an alternative meat venture company. Can we start by talking about one of your latest products? Because I find it really fascinating. The Next Egg 1.0. Can you tell me how that came about and a little bit more? How does it all work?
Sure. So actually, one of the reasons why Next Meat develops and the plant produces alternative foods is because we want everyone to enjoy their favorite foods without restrictions or compromises. So as in the rest of the world, in Japan, there are many people who are allergic to eggs. And in fact, a good friend of son of our founders, he had an egg allergy. And so our founder started thinking about developing the Next Egg, and that's the background. And we also actually have traditional Japanese omelette called tamagoyaki, mm-hmm. which mothers commonly make for their children. And we thought it would be really wonderful and exciting if more and more children could enjoy those tamagoyaki without the worry of allergic reaction or other health concerns.
Now, eggs are a huge technical challenge. They're a very, you know, we always think of them as such a simple food, but they are technically and chemically incredibly complex. Mm-hmm. How have you made your eggs?
Unfortunately, we can't reveal much of information yet. But so, well, as you said, developing alternative egg is not really yet common in the plant-based market. And I guess you could now see a liquid type of egg, but ours comes with powder. So it comes with powder. So you could actually take it wherever you want and you add water and then you could easily make a plant-based egg, which is really exciting and I think very innovative. And it has actually fiber and then nutrition, which is, I think, quite interesting because egg doesn't have fiber in it and we believe it's very healthy. And so it's not only just an alternative egg product, but it also is very healthy and it has high in nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll have to wait till we get a packet so we can read the ingredients on the side, I guess.
Right.
So, Sai, let's just talk about the early days of the company. I mean, you're a pretty young company. You only founded in 2020. What was the motivation? Why was the company started? How did you get your funding?
Okay, so way back to 2006, environmental issues started becoming heavily reported in Japan, like everywhere in the world. And then that was the time our two founders became more conscious about environmental issues and started thinking about what they could do about it. And also during this time, one of our founders had a child and his awareness towards environmental conservation grew as he wanted to protect the planet for the future generations. And then after 3 years, they finally established the company Next Meat in 2020, which is last year.
That's pretty recent, isn't it? So at what stage are you at in terms of the company structure?
Well, so again, we spent 3 years already for R&D. So our R&D actually started back to 2017. So we have a basic know-how developed during those 3 years. And right now we are more seeking for more partnerships and investment using this know-how we already got. And that's actually how we are able to produce as many alternative products as possible.
So you focus so far very much on traditional Japanese products. Which do you think is the first product that you're going to launch to the rest of the world that doesn't necessarily have to feel like it's Japanese?
Well, so many products are coming into the market globally. So more products are coming, such as Next Milk and Next Tuna. So we are not only focusing on alternative meat, but we are also focusing on other alternative products.
Now, you've got a presence in several countries already. What's the strategy of your rapid expansion? What's the plan?
So our founders have a lot of experience in doing businesses in Asia, and this made rapid expansion possible, especially since the plant-based industry is booming now, as you know. And we've been also determined to grow despite the current pandemic, and even if that means taking on staff we can't meet in person or traveling internationally and quarantining as required. So I would say they already had a strong connection and a bond with members all over the world, and that makes our business possible very quickly.
Yeah. Now, Japanese food exports itself very well. I think one of my daughter's first solid meals was sushi, and she absolutely loves it. And there is a kind of global love of Japanese cuisine. Is there a natural crossover between the love of Japanese food and people who love plant-based food?
Yeah, I would say there is a natural crossover between people who love Japanese food and people who love plant-based food. While today most Japanese food uses fish or other meat, but as I mentioned before, Japanese cuisine actually has a long history of plant-based food. And Japan is a small mountainous country which was fairly isolated for many centuries. Mm-hmm. So we needed to develop sustainable ways of living and eating. And so hundreds of years ago, again, Japanese chefs developed meals called shojin ryori, a traditional plant-based cuisine, which Japan is quite famous for. And Japanese people are known to be also long-lived people in the world. So people who eat a lot of Japanese food tend to be healthy. And likewise, many health-conscious people are aware of the benefits of Japanese diets. And for example, Japanese foods have traditionally used a lot of soy, such as in tofu, natto, and soy sauces. And we know soy is rich in protein and is commonly used for plant-based proteins. So I think the crossover is there, but many people are just not aware of it yet.
Yeah, natto is always one of those ones that Westerners find quite challenging, I would say. Now, let's look ahead to 2050 and assume that we're in a restaurant where all your products are sold. What are we going to be seeing? What are we going to be tasting? And will it look the same as food now, or will it be radically different?
Although Next Meat was conceived in Japan and currently producing a Japanese-style food, we intend to branch out into other cuisines as soon as possible. And this is just the beginning. But we actually don't know what you can expect from us in 2050. But we believe that as a society, we need to make huge changes in how we produce food, but the scene is changing so fast. So Next Meat just needs to grow and adapt the market and available technology as we go. And I would say our future products might not even look like meat or milk or foodstuff that are common today. So we don't know yet, but we will do our best along the way.
Now, you're looking to try and sort of find alternatives for every single type of meat or dairy product. Which do you think is likely to be the hardest one to crack? Which is the biggest challenge?
Well, meat would be very difficult to mimic. And we would say, whole cuts of meat with fat marbling are probably the hardest because it's really difficult to get the fat right and to integrate it into the protein correctly.
Especially if you're looking for Wagyu beef, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, that totally requires more research and development, but consumer wants it, so it's important that industry develops it.
Yeah. And which technologies do you think are most important to you? Is it the raw materials? Is it the machinery? Is it having better ingredients companies? What's the bottleneck? What do you think is the thing that will allow your company to thrive most?
We think it's mostly research and technology that we need, and we develop new ways to use microalgae and cultured food recently. But we still need to do more research and development to be able to use these technologies to create more alternative proteins which look and feel and also taste as similar as possible to the animal-based meats that many consumers still enjoy.
And if you're planning, I mean, you've got an ambitious plan ahead of you, what do you think that the rest of the alternative meat market will look like? I'm assuming that the entire food industry will shift dramatically as well. It's not just the food on the plate, but what will investors be looking for? Are you expected to become part of huge multinational companies? Or do you think that companies will be able to strike out on their own and just thrive on their own steam?
So I think, say, in 10 years' time, the alternative meat market will have grown hugely in size and the range of products and on offer. And we'll be seeing alternative meats everywhere, and they won't be seen so much as alternatives to animal-based meat, but just as healthier, more sustainable way to eat foods most people enjoy. And I think alternative meats, which look even more like the animal-derived equivalents, will be commonplace at supermarkets, which they already are in much of the world, and restaurants, fast food outlets, and basically everywhere that people shop and eat. And as for investors, we think they are already well aware of the growth of the plant-based trend, and they will continue to pour in more and more investment in the years and decades to come.
Mm. And in terms of your business structure, what is the next stage? Is it more investment? Is it looking for partnerships? How do you plan that rapid growth?
Well, we'll say without investment, there's no R&D. But without partnership, it may take longer to develop and distribute a product. So we actually value both with a slight bias towards investment because it needs to come first. But we definitely value both.
And do you have partnerships already in progress?
Yeah, so especially in Japan, we already partnered a lot of companies, major companies such as Toyota Tsusho, and we also had a collaboration with a big supermarket in Japan called Ito Yokado, and also we had a collaboration with an IKEA Japan, and many are more coming, not only in Japan, but in Asia too.
And what are those partnerships working on? Is that about new products? Is it about stocking them? Or is it about working on development?
Well, many directions. So for some partnership, we just distribute our products. For some partnership, we collaborate to develop new products. And for some partnership, we do and for our marketing purpose, we do uncorroborated events to make our corroborated items.
Okay, and I believe you're building a new production facility. Is this an important stage for the company?
Yes, it's very important for us to have own our production facility because it makes pilot production faster and easier so we can develop more and more alternative products for the market. But also it significantly reduces the cost as we can manage the production line by ourselves without going through other facilities.
Okay, and just one final question really. Which is the product or innovation that most excites you? What's the one thing that you think this is the thing that I'm going to tell everyone about because it makes all of the company's efforts seem worthwhile?
Yeah, so there are some moments when we feel that future looking good, but I wouldn't say it's about a single product or technology. Since alternative sustainable proteins has been around for centuries, including here in Japan. And I would say it's just about consumer knowledge and attitudes. And plant-based proteins are reaching a tipping point with mainstream consumers, and their price is becoming very similar to non-plant-based equivalents, so making them more accessible to consumers. And more people are learning the value in eating plant-based to protect the planet. And that's the most exciting thing about the food scene today.
Excellent. Well, Saya Matsukubo, thank you so much for talking to me. You've been listening to the Tabletop Podcast brought to you by Food Matters. If you enjoyed this episode, you might like one of our other podcasts in which we explore pretty much every aspect of the food industry, from sustainable farming to e-commerce. Recent highlights have included editions on intermittent fasting and sports nutrition. Follow to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, take a look at foodmatters.com. And thanks for listening.